Omaha Public Radio presents another luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club on Noon Forum. On today's program, we'll hear from newly elected mayor of Omaha, the Honorable Jean Stothert. Mayor Stothert made history when she became the first woman to be elected mayor of the city of Omaha, as well as the first Republican to hold that office in 12 years. She'll talk about her first 100 days in office, the challenges she has faced, and what the future holds. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Thursday afternoon, September 26, 2013, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of the Omaha Press Club, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is K. Chris Weinstein, a member of the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee.
Our speaker today is Omaha Mayor Jean Stothert. Since taking office, she's already been confronted with some major issues. The mayor will speak about the highlights of her first days in office and what she is looking forward to in the future. Mayor Stothert will speak for about 30 minutes, and then she'll take questions. Now, there's a paper and pencil at your table, so please write down your questions, and it will be brought to me to the podium, and I will ask them. We do this for our radio audience to kind of keep them in the loop. So just write down your questions, and we'll collect them. They'll bring them up here, and then I'll ask Mayor Stothert. So please join me in welcoming Omaha Mayor Jean Stothert.
Well, thank you very much. Let's see. I got to get this up a little. I'm about 6'3" with my heels on, so I have to raise microphones all the time. Can you all hear me? That's good. Well, thank you for inviting me. The last time I was up here speaking was a debate, so this is a much more calm environment this time. So I'm very happy to be back. And wanted to just tell you, I've been in office now. We were going to talk about my first 100 days, but actually today it's 108 days, but I tell many people it seems more like 100 years, but it has been a pretty exciting first 100 days. But first of all, I have a couple people here with me today I want to introduce you to, and my chief of staff, Marty Bielik, is here. Marty, you want to say hello? There's Marty. And then my my deputy chief of staff, I forgot your name, Carrie Murphy. No, I didn't forget your name. Carrie Murphy is here, too. And then I do believe our chief of police, Todd Schmatter, might be here somewhere hiding out, but he was going to be here today, so hopefully he's here somewhere. But anyway, we've had a really exciting 100 days, and a lot has happened, so I'm going to kind of take you through from when we first were elected and what happened from even the election period on to the time that I was actually inaugurated and became mayor. Because right out of the bat, once Election Day was over, we were right back at work early the next day. And I had about a four-week period to make a transition from a city council member to a mayor. And so what I did is I got a team together of volunteers who were my transition team. And what we did is we got to work right away and had a lot of really challenging things that we had to achieve right away. And one is I had to look at every single department director. I had to make sure that that director was the person that I wanted in that position, and many of those were. I also had some acting directors, and I also had some open positions. So we did a lot of job applications, a lot of interviewing, because I wanted to make sure I had the best staff I possibly could set when I took office. Every city department, and there's 13 city departments if you consider the mayor's office, they are only as good as their leadership. And I wanted to make sure that we had the best possible leadership in place. So we took did a lot of interviewing and did a lot of reorganization of the departments in that short period of time. I also made a lot of promises during my campaign, and I never make a promise if I don't think I can keep that promise, and I wanted to make the promises good on those promises right off the bat. So one of the things that when I was still on city council is I promised if I became mayor I would lead by example, and I wanted to reduce my salary. That's something I promised I would do. So the mayor's salary is set by a city ordinance, and it's set by the city council for 4 years. So while I was still on city council, I put the mayor's salary back on the agenda of the city council, and I reduced my salary by 10% and then froze it for the next 4 years. So that we did right off the bat. Then, during that transition period, I looked at the mayor's office. And I also promised I would reduce my budget in the mayor's office by a good 10%. And so I had to look at every single position in the mayor's office. And what I did is I reorganized the whole structure of what was going on in the mayor's office. I knew I wanted a chief of staff. I knew I wanted two deputy chiefs of staff, which the previous mayor did not have. I wanted one deputy chief of staff for communications. And I think economic development is so important. In fact, it's the future of our city. I wanted a deputy chief of staff just for economic development. So we did all those job interviews, and I think we hired the best person possible for each of those positions. But I also, again, I wanted to reduce my budget. And so we reorganized. Everybody's called something different than they were before. They have different jobs. Some are doubling up on their responsibilities. But with that, I have a staff of, there's 12 of us now, including me. And we were able to reduce the mayor's office by two people, and we were able to reduce my budget by 11%. And so we're running a lot leaner than we were before, but we're still getting an awful lot done. Now, once I became mayor, I had two big challenges right off the bat. And one was the 2013 budget, which we are in now, and then the 2014 budget. I had about 5 weeks to get that 2014 budget done and get it to the city council for approval. The 2013 budget, and as well as every city budget, when it is approved by the city council, it's balanced. And at the end of the year, it has to be balanced. And then the mayor is responsible for watching what happens in that 12-month period to make sure we stay balanced. The 13 budget, after 6 months when I took office, so we were into the year 6 months, it was already $13.5 million in the hole. We were short $13.5 million already in 13. And I knew we had a big challenge to try to get 13 balanced out. But I also had only about 5 weeks to get the 14 budget to the council. And if I was to grant every department director what they had asked for, 14 was going to be about $20 million short. And the previous mayor was going to fix that problem with a property tax increase. And I said, that's not going to happen my first year. That's not going to happen in my whole term, 4 years, if I can possibly help it. And so I said, we got to get to work. And so what we did first is address 13, and we did. I met with all the department directors. We put a hiring freeze on. We cut back on open positions. We decided we had to run leaner and more efficient. And I will tell you, at the budget report at the end of the last quarter, that $13.5 million for 13 is down to only a $5 million gap now. And if we keep on going like we're going by the end of the year, 13 will be balanced. Now, that's without making any of the threats that you usually hear from a new leader of we're going to have to either raise taxes or shut down the libraries and shut down the parks and lay off everybody. We did not make that threat at all. We said we are going to keep the libraries open. We're going to keep the infrastructure repaired. We're going to do the road work we have to do. We're just going to run smarter, leaner, and more efficiently. And that's what we achieved in that short period of time. Now, the 14 budget was a bigger challenge because, as I said before, we got all the requests in from all the departments and the directors. We had about a $20 million gap that we did not have as according to what the revenues that we anticipate will come in. Our revenues are primarily property tax and sales tax, and they have been pretty flat in the last couple years. They are looking better, but they have been pretty flat. We also had a problem with the LB 775, which is the Economic Advantage Act refunds that are sales tax refunds we give back to the state. And we predicted that we were only, like in 13, we were only going to have about $7.5 million, and it looks like we're going to have about $14 million that we're going to have to refund back. So we were having some problems with the anticipated revenues that we had. So what I did with 2014 is I did two different things. Number one, I met with every department director. And we tried, me and the finance director, we calculated what we would need according to our anticipated revenues to budget so that we would have a neutral budget and we would not have to have a tax increase. I gave every single department director a new target budget. I worked with them. I said, you know, I want you to work efficiently, but there's two things I want you to always keep in mind. Number one, we won't compromise public safety. And number two, we will not violate any labor contract. And you know, about 90% of our city employees are working under a labor contract. Those are the two things that I said we won't do. So I worked very carefully with every department director on reducing their budget. But again, I did not want to compromise what people expect from their property taxes. I did not want to close down libraries. I did not want to pull back on our swimming pools, our mowing, our parks, our road repair. These are the things that we think are really important and we expect our tax dollars to go for. And with that, I also decided I was going to work with the city council. For my 4 years on city council, I never knew what was in the city budget until the mayor handed it to me in a bound copy at 2 p.m. at a city council meeting in the afternoon and said, here's my recommended budget. You got about 5 weeks to go through it. We didn't know what was in that budget. And I thought, this is no way to do budgeting. I worked with the city council on this 2014 budget. I met with them individually. I met with them in groups. I said, what are your goals, your vision? What do you want? What do you not want? Here's what I want to do in this department. Do you agree with me? Will you accept this? Will you not accept this? We worked together on this entire budget. And I can tell you, when I handed that budget to the city council at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, there were no surprises. They knew everything in it. They knew every department. Their priorities were met. We really worked on it together. And I think that's how we got a 7-0 vote on it. But it did pass with the council on a 7-0 vote. We did not have a property tax increase. It was balanced without a property tax increase. We did cut $20 million out of that budget. But at the same time, we were able in many areas to improve on our city services. Here's some good examples. One thing that we hear a lot of complaints about are demolition of our old burnout houses we have all over Omaha. We have about 500 houses that are flagged for demolition, but we never put enough money in the budget to do that, and they are just havens for crime. We put over close to $1 million in the 14 budget for demolition of houses, more than has been put in years and years and years. But we were able to do that by carefully prioritizing the public or the planning department's budget. Here's another thing, road repair and maintenance. People complain all the time about our roads and the condition of our roads and the potholes in our roads. You know, our roads are about 50 years behind on resurfacing and maintenance, and it's going to take a long time to catch up, but we're never going to catch up if we don't put enough money in our budget to do it. Primarily, road maintenance and repair comes from the wheel tax and the state gas tax. State gas tax has been down the last couple years, so we weren't putting enough money in our roads maintenance and repair. I put in the budget about $750,000 more than the year before, just for roads. And then the governor, thank you, Governor Heineman, but the governor came to Omaha a couple months ago, and they had miscalculated on the expenses that they would have for roads, and they gave us $6.4 million additional to that. And that's what you're seeing on Dodge Street now and all over Omaha. You are seeing a lot of street maintenance and repair, $6.5 million more than we did the year before. So, you know, with careful budgeting and careful prioritization, we're able to continue with the things that people expect. Another thing, I had real cooperative department directors. Our chief of police was very, very good to work with on this. And, you know, he came back with some ideas of how he could reduce his budget, but they weren't items that we wanted to accept. For instance, he said, you know, we can lower our number of sworn strength. Well, we know we have an issue with crime in Omaha now, and we're not going to be able to address that unless we have law enforcement. And we said, no, we don't want to reduce the number of sworn strength. In fact, I have a goal that I share with our police chief that we wanted to keep in 2014 the same number of sworn that we had budgeted in 13, and we wanted to budget and up that number in the 15 and 16 budget. So, for example, in 2014, we have 804 sworn police officers. That's what we had in 13. We didn't want to reduce it any. But in 2015 budget, we would like to up that to 825. And in 2016, we would like to up that to 840. We need more officers on our street in Omaha, but we can carefully budget it and achieve that. Another thing that was suggested is maybe we wouldn't buy our cruisers that we had on schedule to buy this year. Well, let me tell you, a police officer can't do his job without his tools. And you can't expect him to do the job with these cruisers that they've been driving around town with holes in the floorboard and 250,000 miles on it. So we decided we will continue to purchase the cruisers that we had planned in 14. We will just budget carefully for it. Another item with police that he suggested is we can hold off on ordering their radios. Well, the radios are a lifeblood of a police officer. Cost to replace them all is about $4.5 million. average life expectancy for a police radio is about 4 to 7 years. Ours are 10 years and older, and some of them you can't even repair anymore, but they need them. So we figured out a more clever way with lease purchase bonds to go ahead in 14 and buy all of those radios, $4.5 million worth. But again, keep in mind, we cut $20 million out of that budget, and we're still able to do the things that we really wanted to do. So I felt like we were very successful in what we did with the budget. Fire department was an exception. The fire department was requesting about $15 million more than they did this year. They wanted about $15 million more than they had in 13. We just could not afford that, and we worked with the fire department, and in the end, we compromised, and what I agreed on and what we budgeted on and what was approved was about $8 million more than this year, but it was about $7 million less than they asked for. So we felt like that was a good compromise, but we will have to still work very hard on getting that fire budget down to that number. We want to make sure that fire in the future is no longer $8, $10, $11 million over budget every year. And with that, and I know all of you have been watching this that have been reading the news, but we do have a new interim fire chief in there. Right now, the previous fire chief is going to retire, and is going to retire early. But I really think that if we want to get into the fire department and really make sure they're running really more efficiently, and I needed somebody in there that I could really trust and understood the operations of the fire department, this is really a positive way to go for Omaha. So I am pretty confident with the new interim fire chief, and as we move forward and we will hire a new permanent fire chief, that we will get the fire department under control. And I think that that's very, very positive. So we really worked on 13 budget. We really worked on 14 budget. We now have a 14 budget approved. There are no tax increases, but I still think what you will see going on in Omaha in the next year or so, you're going to see a lot more activity, which is really, really exciting. One of the things I did want to talk about, too, is all of the building that's going on in Omaha. If we want to grow our community, our future is depending on our economic growth. And I think that if you look all over Omaha, you see a lot of things happening. But we want a lot more to happen in the future. And just look at the projects that are going on now. And this is why I thought it was so important to have a deputy chief of staff for economic development. She works with the builders, the developers, the building community, the planning department, every single day at trying to help them get through City Hall and get their projects done quickly and promptly and get their answers right away. And this is what we need to do to be a more customer-friendly government. Let's look around Omaha. Start just downtown right now. Right across from CenturyLink, you have 10th and Capitol. That project, that's underway, and it's going to happen. The anchor of that is a 350-room Marriott Hotel, which should be open by the 2016 Olympic trials, swim trials. That's going to have mixed use and retail down there. That'll be an exciting addition down near the CenturyLink. Gavilan, the new national headquarters, international headquarters, is going in at the old Omaha World Herald building. You will see a new UNO arena that some of the zoning and replatting was just approved last Tuesday by the city council, move more towards the Midtown area. That arena is going to be open probably 30 to 40% of the time for the public to use the ice and for events there. That project is underway in the Exarban Village area. Go to the Crossroads area at 72nd Dodge, the Crossroads Mall. That has been purchased, and we are working with the developers at developing a whole new area in that area, which is going to be pretty exciting because there's what they're looking for is a lot of one and only retail stores, restaurants. That's going to be mixed use. It's going to have residential space there. It's going to have office space, and it's going to have a lot of new stores, really cool stores. Things like Nordstrom Rack is going to be there. That's really cool. Move on out west. We have things going on. You saw the new TD Ameritrade building is up, and people are in there now. Tanaska is building their new headquarters out west. You move on way out west, about 192nd and Dodge. There's a new business park going on there. So there is activity all over Omaha. But I think what you're going to see in the next couple years is more and more, because if you look at our economic forecasters and you talk to them, things are improving. And, you know, if we want, again, to grow our economy, and we want, what we need is more businesses here, we need to keep our existing businesses here, we need those job creators here so that they will have the job opportunities that we need in Omaha. These are all very, very positive, and they're going in the right direction right now. I can guarantee you that. A couple other things I wanted to talk to you about, bond ratings. Myself, the finance director, our bond counsel, a couple weeks ago, we flew up to Chicago early in the morning and we met with our two bond raters, which are Standard & Poor's and Moody. We had, Omaha had, a AAA bond rating with Standard & Poor's, and we were reduced a couple years ago to AA1 with Moody. And when we went up there, I had it in my mind, because a lot had changed since last year. We had a fire contract, which we didn't have last year. We put more money in our cash reserve, which we didn't have last year. We were really controlling our debt. And so I was very optimistic when we went up there that we might get that AAA back with Moody, and we'd have two AAA ratings. The first thing Moody's and Standard & Poor's told us is that they are not issuing AAA to any cities anymore in the entire country that had any unfunded pension liability. The only cities they were going to issue AAA to were cities that had no unfunded pension liability. Well, as you all know, we have about $900 million worth of unfunded pension liability, and that has happened from mayors and city councils and union contracts year after year after year that have, with their labor negotiations, that have allowed terms and conditions of the contract that allowed for very early retirement, allowed for spiking, basically taken too much too soon out of the pension. And right now we have a problem with our pensions, as well as many other cities in the country. They told us that only 3% of the cities in the United States now have AAA. Only 3. So I knew right away we weren't going to get AAA back with Moody's. At that time, I was hoping we would just keep what we had. So after we did a very long interview with both bond raters, they're both in different buildings, about 2 hours with each of them, we presented what was going on with our city, and they look at everything. You know, they look at your revenues, they look at your expenses, they look at your debt, they look at your cash reserve, they look at your labor contracts, they look at everything. And there was only 11% of the cities in the entire United States that have AA1 or AA+ right now. Over 85% of the cities in the country have less than that. So they called us after we left, had a lot of conversation, but in the end, both of those bond raters gave us the AA. One is called AA1 and the other is called AA+, but they're both the same thing. So it's a notch below AAA. And that's what we were awarded. But again, it's better than 85% of the cities in the entire United States now. Now, immediately, if you listen to KFAB, Jim Rose was on the air saying, oh, we're going to go to hell in a handbasket and we can't borrow money anymore and it's going to be devastating. But let me tell you, it wasn't, because 2 weeks ago, or last week, on Tuesday and Wednesday, we sold over $24 million worth of bonds, and we got some of the best bond rates we've ever gotten. And we got the bond rate, or the rates on those bonds, the interest rates, of what we thought we would get if we had AAA. So we got about 3.24% on $24 million worth of bonds. So we are still getting very, very good bond ratings. When they do these bond ratings, they compare you with other cities. And if the majority of the other cities are less than you, you will still get very good bond ratings, and we did. And so, you know, of course our goal is to stay with AAA. Of course our goal in the future is to get the AAA. But right now, this AA1 and AA+ is a pretty darn good bond rating. We will be selling sewer bonds pretty soon for a big sewer project, and we hope to get really good ratings on those too. The way that the bond raters look at your unfunded pension liability is they want it solved in 30 years. We have a plan to solve it in 45 years. Now, that seems like a long time because our grandchildren and will be paying for this, but we feel like we have a plan in place now, and our pensions will be funded, fully funded, in 45 years. The bond raters want it in 30 years. In my opinion, it's not practical. Because the only way you could do this is a massive influx of taxpayer money into the pension. And you have to keep in mind that those pensions don't benefit anybody but the employee or the retiree. They don't benefit you at all. And so why would I want to maybe double your property taxes to solve that pension in 30 years instead of 45 years, when I feel like your tax dollars should be used for the things that you feel like they should be used for? The streets, the infrastructure, the parks, the roads, the libraries, all those things. So I am satisfied with a long-range plan to solve that pension liability. I don't think it's practical and reasonable, and I don't think it's affordable for Omaha to try to solve it in 30 years. So that is our plan, and I think that that's a good plan. Labor negotiations, we have a lot underway now. The city council gave the negotiating authority back to the mayor after I was in office. Gee, thanks. No, but I'm glad they did, because I have a really good independent negotiator, and right now we are negotiating our local 251, which is our civilian union, when we have a lot of civilians in the union, all of the public works guys, the parks guys, they're all in a civilian union. We are also negotiating police management right now. We will open up police union this year, and then in 14, fire union expires. So we have a lot of labor contracts to negotiate right now. And one of my prime areas that I'm going to concentrate on are the pensions, although we have a plan, and also health care. We have about 2,400 employees in the city of Omaha right now. And this is amazing if you stop and think about it. And in the 14 budget, I put in $59 million for health care. $59 million, and we have 2,400 employees. The reason is we provide health care coverage for those who retire, and we provide it till they're 65. And we have had a lot of fire and police that retire at age 45, and we are covering their health care and their family's health care until they're 65. So health care reform is a primary area that I'm going to be concentrating on. My goal is that all city employees are on one health care plan. When I was elected to city council 4 years ago, we were administering, because we're self-insured, we were administering 24 different health care plans. We have it down to about three health care plans right now: civilian, fire, and police. If we could get everybody onto a standard civilian plan, we could save millions of dollars. So that has to be a goal in the future. But those negotiations are underway. Other things that I wanted to talk to you about today is planning department. That's been on the radio recently quite a bit. I will tell you, the number one department that I receive complaints from over the last 4 years as a council member is the planning department. I said it earlier, but our future in Omaha depends on economic development. Yet complaints were we can't get permits and plans and plan review and inspections done in a timely manner. We're struggling with inflexibility, lack of leadership. We're not going to build in Omaha anymore. We're going to go to Sarpy County. We don't want to put our business here. We're going to leave Omaha. I did not want that to happen anymore. But every city department is, as I said earlier, is only as good as its leadership, and I felt like we really needed good, strong leadership in the planning department. I appointed James Thiel, who's been in the planning department for years, as acting planning director right when I became mayor, and we talked a lot about doing a national search for a new planning director. But recently, I was contacted by Steve Jensen, who was the past planning director, who, in my opinion, is probably the best planner and the best planning director that anybody could ever have. And he contacted me and he said, you know, if I could come back in any capacity whatsoever, because he was retired, and help you with the planning department, I will do that. And I thought, I couldn't find a better person anywhere in the country to do that. And so I met with the city council, talked to the city council. We tried to think of multiple different avenues that we could, how we could bring Steve back. Could we bring him back as a planning director full time? Well, city code says you can't, because city code says once you are retired, you cannot come back in a full-time position. We thought, well, how could we do that? Well, if we did that, we would have to change city code. We came up with three or four different options. We discussed what would be best, and we made the decision the best option would be to bring him back as a contracted employee, which city code allows. City code allows you to come back part-time, too. So I did not want to lose his experience, his respect, and his talent. And he's one of the best. And so we decided that we would bring him back as a contracted employee. He's basically paid hourly for what he does. And he will team with James Thiel, who I went ahead and promoted to the permanent planning director. And I think those two guys together are really going to provide the leadership. And I think you are really going to see a change in our planning department and the development that we have going on in Omaha. They are a strong team. They like each other. They complement each other. They each have different areas of expertise. Steve Jensen is excellent at urban planning, urban design. James does a lot more with the community block grants and community development. So they are going to be a very, very strong team. The only other director position that I have open still is finance director. That's a very important position. I did have someone in the acting position since I've been in office, but we are interviewing now for a permanent finance director. And so that's really important also. Let's talk a little bit about public safety. I'm keeping my eye on the clock here, and then I want to give you time to ask me questions. Public safety, is Chief Schmatter here? I thought he was. Maybe he was in and out. But anyway, we do have an uptick in crime in Omaha. There's no doubt about it. We cannot address it, and we cannot fix it if we don't recognize that we have a problem. So I'm not going to stand up here today and tell you everything's fine in Omaha as far as crime goes, because we do. We have a lot of gang activity in Omaha. We have crime all over Omaha. It's just not in Northeast Omaha or Southeast Omaha. We have a lot of property crimes out in West Omaha, and so we have to address it. Gang activity has been pretty active this summer. We have approximately 3,000 known gang members in Omaha. We have over 80 known gangs that in Omaha right now. We do have an issue, and we have to address it. But like I said before, we can't address it without law enforcement. So we need to make sure we have enough sworn strength in our police department, and they need to have the tools that they need. But also, we've had a lot of task force that have been working in Omaha. A couple months ago, there was a project that was talked a lot about in the newspaper called Project Purple Haze. When Chief Schmatter was here, he mentioned that project, that task force, and they literally took one whole gang off the street. And a lot of those, well, all of them are in jail right now. So that was very, very positive. With gang sociology, one gang goes away, others try to move up in the hierarchy. That's just the way it is. And so we've been seeing a lot of gang activity this summer. There are other task force going on right now, and I think you're going to see some real significant changes really, really soon. The police have done some really good police work recently, working with county and federal and state law enforcement. And two were the homicides with the physician that had the serial killer, had the three murders that he is, I think he's in court today, isn't he? I believe he is. And then the other one with Nico Jenkins that was very quickly associated with the last four homicides that we had in Omaha. And if you've been watching the news, that and when you talk about his family is such a tragic, disturbing family on so many levels. But that was really good police work, and those two people are incarcerated now and will go to trial. But we absolutely need to address the problems that we have, the gang violence. We're working very, very closely with our federal partners. Another thing that's been talked a lot about recently that I believe Chief Schmatter and I are going to be on the same page with, as well as the governor, is we need to address the good time laws. I really want to make sure that this is going to be a priority in the legislature this year, as well as tax reform. And I think if we're going to get something done, it's going to be very, very helpful that we get on the same page with that. Another thing I'm working on is the Citizens Review Board. There was a lot of talk during the campaign about, do we need a police auditor? Do we not need anything? Do we need a Citizens Review Board? I don't support the police auditor, but I do support a Citizens Review Board. One of the advantages of a Citizens Review Board is you have more than one person that is involved in this. And I think it's the people out in the community that have a right to review and make recommendations of some of these incidences. And I think it would be better and more productive to have a Citizens Review Board. I'm working on that now with our law department and with the police chief. We brought in the president of the police union, and we all want to get on the same page with that. But we are working on that legislation now, and hopefully before the end of the year that we will have a Citizens Review Board in place. And I think that would be very, very helpful. So lots and lots going on. I could sure talk to you for hours about other things. One other area I wanted to tell you about, I talked about all of the developments going on, but a couple areas I wanted to bring up to you too, Civic Center. There was a contract on the agenda while I was still on city council for a local firm to do an RFP to try to find out what we can do with that Civic Center area. The city council turned that down, and me and my deputy chief of staff for economic development have really been working on what we could do with that area that the Civic Center is on now. And so I think you're going to see an RFP, it's my hope, before January 1st. And there are some local companies and local businesses and local developers that are interested in that area. And so we hope we will get something really cool in that spot where the Civic Center is. It's got great access from the interstate. It's a 4-block square area and a really prime area downtown. And hopefully that we're going to have something really interesting and great happening there. 16th Street is another area. We are going to redevelop 16th Street from Douglas to Leavenworth. That street runs right in front of the Orpheum there. It's going to be renamed the District, and we hope it's going to have a lot of retail. They're going to have extra parking there, going to do widening the streets, the sidewalks, a lot of landscaping in that area. The city is paying for half of that. We've put it in our capital improvement plan. It's estimated about $900,000 a block. And the city is going to pay for about one side of the block, I guess. And then private donors are going to pay for the other part. The city paid for the engineering and the studies for that, and we're going to go forward with that. In fact, it looks like next year we might be able to do 4 blocks. So that's going to be a big improvement in that area downtown. And another really great area is Tranquility Park up on 120th and Maple, where the soccer fields are. And it is going to be the new home to those two Olympic swim trial swimming pools. And we wanted those pools somewhere in Omaha, and there was a lot of other of our cities and the surrounding areas that wanted those pools. But they made the decision that we are going to provide the land out at Tranquility, but they are going to put those two big Olympic-sized swimming pools out there. The cost to the city is just the land that we are going to help them redevelop. But the cost is going to be private donors for that. And they are going to redo the soccer fields. They're going to put in new tennis courts. They're going to be regulation-sized soccer fields and tennis courts, and they're going to have the two swimming pools out there. So that's going to be a really great area out in northwest Omaha. So we sure have a lot going on. A lot has happened in the last 100 days. You know, my days go pretty darn quickly. I wish we had about 10 more hours in every day because we have so much going on and so much to do. Sunday was the first day I had off since I've been in office. So, I mean, we work 7 days a week, work a lot of 14-hour days, but I just wish there was more time in every day. I ask for people to be patient because there's so much we need to get done, and it's going to take time, but I think we are certainly going in the right direction right now. I have a great staff. I love going to work every day. They're very helpful. We're out in the community. We're doing things every day. But my goal is to rebuild the confidence in city government, in the mayor's office, and be a customer-friendly government, one that we're there to serve you. We want to help you achieve your goals and your mission, and you need to communicate with us so we know how we're doing, too. One area of communication that I think is very important, and Carrie's working with me a lot, is just that. We need feedback from the people in Omaha. A lot of times government will make all these decisions, like with healthcare and things, and then try to figure out how it affects people later on. And, you know, we want to get your feedback. For instance, with the planning department, what we did, we invited about 100 people in the development community, from builders to architects, engineers, home builders, developers. We invited them up to the mayor's office. We had about a 2.5-hour meeting, and we said, what do you see that we need to do in our planning department with our city? What works? What doesn't work? What are we not delivering that you need? This is the feedback that we really need. Consequently, I use my Facebook a lot. Now, 4 years ago, I was afraid to use Facebook, but now we do it. We put city issues on it almost every day. We ask for people's advice. We ask for their opinion. We ask for their input on different things. We don't take things down. We have like little mini town hall meetings all the time on there because we want to get that communication out. Right now, I have over about 6,000 people that follow our Facebook page saying, you know, good response on what's going on in the city. Like we put things about road construction and repair on there. My hotline is another thing that I wanted to tell you about briefly, is there's a lot of complaints, or has been, about the mayor's hotline, and we wanted to make it better. We wanted to make it so we not only take your call and forward it on, but we want to solve the problems. So I put assigned another person on the hotline. I have three guys in there working on the hotline right now. They're all using a different software than they did before, but they're not just taking calls and saying, okay, I'll pass that on. They are following up and they're making sure that the things get answered and the things get done. Now, we can't get everything done in a day, but we are certainly making every attempt to get them done quickly and promptly. And they're even returning calls saying, you know, I want to let you know that the abandoned car that you reported to me last week is going to be picked up this week. So we're trying to really improve those efforts as much as we can because, again, that's that communication piece. So I can continue talking for about 3 days, but I think right now I will just wind this up and you can ask me any question you want. Nothing I have not been asked before, I'm sure.
Well, we do have quite a few questions here, and thank you very much. You do seem to go at an endless energy level, Mayor.
Oh, and by the way, I do not have those hairy arms.
Yes, those are not the mayor's hairy arms on the magazine.
They're somebody in the planning department's hairy arms that they photoshopped on me.
Well, okay, the first question is, what one thing surprised you the most when you assumed office?
I get that question asked to me a lot, and I got to be honest with you, there's no surprises. I was down at City Hall almost every day for the last 4 years. There was nothing unexpected. There was no surprises. I knew every department. I knew which departments were running well. I knew which departments needed change. There are really no surprises. The thing that is the most difficult for me is, like I just got finished telling you, I need more time in every day. You know, I get up at 5 every morning, I walk on my treadmill, get some exercise, walk my dog, go to City Hall, and a lot of times I don't get home till 9 or so. But that's not unexpected. I expected it. And it's like any job. It's like every job that you all have. The more you put in it, the more you get out of it. And so, you know, if my goal is at the end of this first term, 4 years, if people could say, you know, I trust her, she made the right decisions, didn't always agree with her, but I do trust her, city's going in a right direction, we are a more customer-friendly city government, you know, we're very competitive because we're keeping our taxes down, but you're seeing improvements out there, I think I will feel successful.
Are there any campaign promises that you regret making?
No. I don't ever make a promise that I don't think I could keep. And, you know, I've been in an elected office for 15 years now. I did 3 terms on a school board, 4 years city council, and then now mayor. And I never make a promise that I don't think I can keep. What I try to concentrate is on good policy, not just politics. And there is a big difference. There are campaign promises that I made that I can't achieve immediately, though. But they still are a promise. Good example, restaurant tax. Restaurant tax was something I did not support. I still don't support it. I think if you have to tax, and sometimes you do, it has to be broad-based and it has to be fair. The restaurant tax is very narrow. It targets only one industry. And in typical cities that have a restaurant tax or an entertainment tax, it goes back to help the industry. And this tax was imposed just to shore up the fire and police pension. Now, it was anticipated to bring in $14 million a year. It's anticipated in 14 to bring in $28 million a year. So people say, well, why don't you repeal it? There's still a restaurant tax. Why didn't you repeal it? As I said in the beginning, I had a $20 million hole to fill with the 14 budget in 5 weeks. If I would have repealed the restaurant tax, I would have had a $47 million hole to plug up in 4 or 5 weeks. It's impossible. I couldn't do it. So yes, I am using some of that money, that extra money in the restaurant tax, to fund all these other things in my budget for 2014. But it is a goal of mine, because we're not going to be able to reduce the restaurant tax or your property taxes unless we bring in more revenue. And I don't mean more revenue by taxes. I mean more revenue by building our economy, having more people in Omaha, having more businesses in Omaha. So that's my goal.
There are a lot of questions here that do address that very subject. And it is like, what are your efforts or what are your thoughts about increasing jobs in Omaha, especially for jobs with a living wage?
Right. You know, a lot of politicians, when they're running, they're going to talk about, I'm going to create all these jobs. But let me tell you, politicians don't create jobs. I, as the executive of the city, I don't create jobs. The businesses create jobs. My job is to make sure that we have the good public policy in place so that those jobs can be created, so those businesses will want to come here and want to stay here. So I have to make sure we have a very competitive tax base. I have to make sure that our infrastructure is good. We have good roads and streets and bridges. I have to make sure our city is safe and that people feel safe coming here. That's what I have to do as chief executive of the city, and that is what I'm going to do. And then, in turn, those jobs will be created. There are a lot of areas in Omaha that I think that have suffered in the past 10 years or so. North Omaha is a good example. But I think if we have those good public policies in place, then we can attract those businesses, those job creators, and to have those job opportunities. We also, the city is working a lot as a partner with like Heartland Workforce Solutions. There's a lot of folks in Omaha that there are jobs out there, but they don't know how to be good employees. And a lot of times you have to help train people to become good employees. And so those are all things that I think a good city government and a good leader will work with a partner with a lot of our private partners that we have in Omaha, from our nonprofits to things like Building Bright Futures. There's just so many groups out there that I think that it takes a strong leader to bring them together to be effective. You know, I always talk about, like, for instance, with the school districts. I served 12 years on the school board. I feel like I know public education, and I feel like I know what needs to be done. But the mayor doesn't have direct jurisdiction over the school districts. They have their own elected board. But the mayor needs to be a partner with those who do. And so, you know, I've already met with the new superintendent of OPS. I have a meeting coming up real soon with all the area superintendents, and we're going to work together. It's got to be a good partnership.
Well, this is a question from someone that just moved to Omaha. So she's looking, or he or she is looking at it through new eyes. It seems to me like a lot of older residential neighborhoods with very nice houses are surrounded by unsightly commercial business. That seems to bring down the edges of the neighborhoods. It would be so much nicer to surround residential areas with more attractive business that people would enjoy walking to. Do you have any sort of vision to address this problem?
I'm not really sure the areas you're talking about, but, you know, strong neighborhoods have businesses that support them, basically. And, you know, we have, as far as if you're talking about just the look of the business, you know, we have urban design codes. Omaha by Design has been very influential in our urban design codes. This is one area that Steve Jensen, which I just hired, is an expert at. But, you know, we want to make our city a very nice-looking city, too. And we have those codes in place, but they have to be reviewed every so often. You know, they've identified we have a city master plan. City master plan has been in place for 20 years or so. But a master plan is a guide for development. It's not a mandate that you have to do things a certain way. And in that city master plan, though, they have a plan for the entire city. You know, you look at any of these big intersections along Dodge, they have determined areas that need residential, areas that need multifamily residential, areas that need mixed use with residential and retail. Those things are all identified, but it's a matter of working with the developers and working with the builders and working with our planning department in our design codes. There has been a lot of development in Omaha since I've been on city council that, you know, the neighbors have come in and opposed to a lot of things that were going on. And I could tell you, when I was on city council, we listened to what the neighbors said. A good example is the CVS on 49th and Dodge Street. There was a lot of opposition to that. But with that, the city council worked with the developer and did a lot of changes of the look of that building there before it got its final approval. Even before I was on city council, a great example is the Walmart on 72nd Street. A lot of changes went into that Walmart to make it fit better into the neighborhood. So we always keep that in mind. The only thing we have to be careful with is we don't want our these rules and regulations to be so stiff that it makes it much more expensive and we chase people out of town too. So it's got to be a good balance.
Well, speaking of CVS, there's a question about that. CVS Pharmacy threatened the city that if they didn't get the Dundee site for their store, they would not build at 72nd and Maple. 3 years later, 72nd and Maple is still grassland. Any plans to develop this area?
They did not do that. They did not say that they wouldn't build elsewhere if they didn't get the one on 49th and Dodge. There was a lot of misinformation out there about that development. That was basically when they designed where they were going to put their CVSs in Omaha, though, that was basically their anchor area. That's 49th and Dodge, and then they were looking at expanding in the surrounding areas, kind of using that as their anchor. But they never threatened the city council to say, if we didn't get that, we won't build anywhere else. But, when businesses like CVS come in, you know, we try to make them fit into the neighborhood, but you also got to keep in mind that those are job providers, and they bring in revenue to the city, they bring in taxes, and they bring in jobs. So it's not like we want to chase them out either, but we have to work with them, and we really try to take into consideration the fit in the neighborhood. Right now, it seems like every corner there's a Walgreens and a CVS, I know. But, you know, those are things that are very, very important to us. A lot of it's communication, too. A good example that I wanted to give you, and this is kind of rambling off here, but on Dodge Street, the big Dodge Street street project there that's going on, you know, it is from 52nd Street to Turner Boulevard. That's a lot of Dodge Street that they are resurfacing. We wouldn't have been able to do it if it wasn't for the money from the state. But, you know, we tried as best as we can to communicate. We had a press conference ahead of time. We had people from our city going door to door of all of the businesses and residential areas along that area, telling them what was going on. We're trying to do it with the least amount of congestion as we can. And, you know, I am happy to tell you on Dodge that I got an email from the construction company that's doing it, Swain, last night. And they originally predicted that that was going to be an 8-week job there. They said they're going to get it done in 4 weeks now. That it'll be opened up October 14th. And that's really disturbing to everybody along that way. And people ask me a lot of times, why aren't you working at night? You know, why do you have to work during the day when everybody's trying to get to work? There's a lot of residential areas along there, and there's a hotel at Midtown Crossing, and they don't like working at night when people are trying to sleep. So they start really early in the morning, and they go pretty late to about 10 at night, but then they try to cut it off. But they're going to get it done in about 4 weeks. That's pretty amazing.
In a city where business leadership is dominated by men, do you think being a female mayor will make a difference in corporate Omaha?
Boy, I sure hope so. You know, there have been, I'm number 51, and there's been 50 men. And as you walk down to my office, there's all these pictures of the past mayors in Omaha. I never think about my gender. I never have. I never bring it up in a race at all. I think they need to elect me because of my abilities and my experience. I think I do bring a different temperament to the mayor's office than past. I am hoping that we will see more women in leadership positions in the future. However, I follow in the footsteps of many women that were terrific leaders, not only in Omaha, but in the state and in the nation, not just in elected position, but business and whether they're working for a nonprofit or whatever. Women have a lot of strong roles in this community, and I do hope it continues. I will tell you, though, it was a little bit of a struggle when I first was on city council because I was also the only woman on city council. And there were 6 men and me. And when I was elected to city council, I was the first woman in over a decade because the last woman was Brenda Council. And it was kind of funny because when we have public hearings, we would always have men come up to the podium at city council and they would go, "Councilman." And they did that for about 4 months. And one day some guy looked at me and he goes, "Councilman." And he looked at me and he goes, "Oh, and you too, honey." And I thought, okay, there's councilman and honey. But, I thought, okay, I got to work a little bit harder here at what I'm doing. But after a while, you know, I don't think about it. And, people did have a hard time on council. Do I call you councilwoman, council lady? One guy called me council girl one day. I don't know. But I think mayor is just fine.
Well, speaking of that, would you care to give your Washington politicians lessons?
I'm not sure I know what that means. Do you mean do I want to give a lesson to the Washington politicians? I'd love to. But I guess my lesson to them would be, you know, I learned a lot about being elected in the last 15 years, whether it be school board or city council. You can't get anything done if you don't work together, and you have to compromise. And sometimes things that I agreed on in the city council, I gave a little on it because I did not want to be like Washington, D.C. and say, if you can't get everything, then let's don't do anything. And if you take that attitude, we're not going to move forward. On the city council, I worked very well with all the council members. You take Ben Gray and me. We are as different as night and day as with our politics. We get along great. You know, there's a lot of issues that we agree on. There's issues we don't agree on. Some of them he'll come to me and he'll say, I don't agree with you on this, and here's why, and I'll do the same thing to him. But you move on, and the next 500 items you do agree on. You got to learn to work together, and you got to learn to compromise. Labor negotiations is something that I have been deeply involved in all during my school board days, and now with the unions in Omaha. Labor negotiations are very difficult, and they can get quite spirited, those meetings. But you will never get a labor contract if you don't compromise and negotiate with each other. That would be my lesson.
Well, I wish we had more time. This is the last question. You appear at endless public events while managing a budget and staff. Do you see yourself keeping this level of energy up?
Yes, I hope so, although I'm getting old. But, you know, it's a perfect time in my life. My kids are grown. I have a daughter, Elizabeth, who lives in Omaha. She's 27. She works at Union Pacific, has her MBA. She's married. My son Andrew's getting his PhD down at University of South Florida in Tampa. So they're not in the house, but I do see them and talk to them a lot. I have an extremely supportive husband. My husband's a trauma surgeon. For many, many years, he was working, you know, 15, 16-hour days, and I was taking the kids to the soccer games and the basketball games and things. And he helped me win this race. He worked with me. My husband and I knocked on 15,000 doors together. And he's very patient with the job that I'm doing, and I respect what he does. He respects what I do. But again, I will go back to what I said in the beginning. My husband was a good example to me because he has always told me that you get out of it what you put in it. And I'm a nurse by training, and I always respected him because he worked so hard as a physician. And, you know, I want to do everything I can to show people that I was the right choice, and so I'm willing to put in all the time that I need to be successful in this in my position as mayor.
I would like to thank the mayor for taking time out of her busy schedule to participate in today's forum, and I'd like to thank everyone here for their attendance today, and we're adjourned.
Thank you. You've been listening to a luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club on Noon Forum. On today's program, we've heard a talk by newly elected mayor of Omaha, the Honorable Jean Stothert. Mayor Stothert made history when she became the first woman to be elected mayor of the city of Omaha, as well as the first Republican to hold that office in 12 years. She's talked about her first 100 days in office, the challenges she has faced, and what the future holds. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Thursday afternoon, September 26, 2013, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. The Omaha Press Club presents these noontime educational forums each month. The next program will be held Thursday, October 17th at 12 noon. The guest speaker at that time will be Mark Evans, the newly appointed superintendent of the Omaha Public School District. He'll talk about his first 3 months in the office of superintendent. If you'd like to attend this or other future programs in the series, call the Omaha Press Club at 402-345-8008. These events are open to both members and non-members of the Omaha Press Club. The Omaha Press Club is located on the 22nd floor of the First National Center, 16th and Dodge, in downtown Omaha. Complete Noon Forum listings, as well as an archive of over 300 previous broadcasts, are available on our website, kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.